Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Galatians 3 verse 13 says this. We're talking about curses now. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Can you all say amen? Having become, how did he do that? Having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. How? In Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Through faith. So the way that the curse is dealt with is on the cross. The curse is broken. The power of the law, the power of the curse is broken on the cross. Can you say amen? This is the best news. This is the best piece of information that you will ever have. That your life, your salvation, your healing, your deliverance, everything we need, the curse is broken. Your wealth, your abundance, everything comes from the cross. Now, in order for us to understand what it means to be saved, what it means to be forgiven, I think it's important for us to lay a little foundation, which is not a little foundation, it's really a huge foundation. But in the Old Testament, there was one day a year that the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, would come together and they would be atoned. On that day, it was Yom Kippur. Once a year, they'd do this. They still do it today. And on this day, they would make a sacrifice and it would atone them for their sins for the year. I'm going to read to you from Hebrews 10, 34. Watch what it says. Verse number 3, not 4. 3 to 4, not 34. Hebrews 10, 3 to 4. But in those sacrifices, talking about the Old Testament, there is a reminder of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. This is very important for us to understand. Because atonement in the Old Testament means cover. It means cover. Yom Kippur, the day actually speaks to cover. So it would cover their sins for the year. They would not be taken away. We have a far better covenant in the New Testament. Can you say amen? Hebrews 9:26 says this. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now once, at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So Jesus was the one sacrifice that has put away sin. So therefore, we don't have to sacrifice anything else or anybody else or anything for our sins because they have been taken away because of the ultimate sacrifice which Jesus made. Can you say amen? This is an incredible concept to think that our sins have actually been removed. Many of us have this tendency to unremove them by reminding God of what He's already forgiven us for. And this is a problem for many Christians because they remain there. They remain in their sin. They can't move on from it because they constantly feel guilty because of what they did 20 years ago. The truth is that if you've repented from your sins, they have been removed. Can you say amen? It's as simple as that. The blood of Jesus has paid the ultimate price and removed our sins. Now, for some people, they struggle with this, but for some people, this concept is actually quite easy to understand. Every one of us are at different places in our walk with God, and this is where we're stuck. Some people have moved far beyond this, and they completely understand the fact that Jesus paid for their sins, and that their sins have been forgiven, and they can actually continue to walk their walk, and when they mess up, they repent, and they move on, and their relationship with God is not affected by their sin because they don't live in it. Does it make sense? But we know that Jesus paid an ultimate price for us by dying on that cross. Look at what John 1:29 says about Jesus. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Isn't that great news? I need you guys to be all excited this morning, okay? Because we're going to get into some truths this morning. And I'm going to ask some tough questions that most of the time we don't really want to talk about. Because the truth is we don't have the answers to everything. We know in part. We see in part. It's words of wisdom, words of knowledge. We only get a portion. And then the rest is a walk by faith. You have to walk in it. So this morning, as we take a look at atonement and what it really has done for us, the fact that Jesus died on that cross and that there's actually so much more to it than just being forgiven from your sins and your name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life, as awesome as that already is. But on the cross, Jesus did far more than just pay for your sins, although that is really, really wonderful. Can you say amen? Hebrews 7:27 says this. Who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once and for all when he offered up himself. Have I read that scripture already? No. Well, he did it once and for all. Can you say amen? And we need to understand that. Now, what I want you to understand, and I, for the sake of time, I can't go into this morning. But when the Bible says, believe or repent and believe and you will be saved. All you need to do to come to Him is repent and believe and you will be saved. The word saved is a very important word in the Greek. And we must grasp this concept because this is what atonement is. The word saved goes beyond salvation only in terms of our eternity. It also speaks of healing. It also speaks of deliverance. It also speaks of being set free. In other words, you get fully atoned for because of what Jesus did on that cross. Now, if we go to the book of Isaiah, the prophet, it's crazy when we have a look at what he prophesied about what Jesus would do and what was actually paid for on the cross. Now, maybe I'll do a teaching on that in the future so I can really show you every bruise, every wound, every cut, every mocking actually meant some form of exchange for you and I. But the word sozo speaks of a total and complete atonement. This is great news. Can you say amen? That means that because of the cross, we can still get healed today. That means because of the cross, we can have a breakthrough from any curse. That a curse is actually illegal. Sickness is actually illegal. Through the cross, it's actually illegal. Right? Because it's been paid for and it's been given to us. Now, let me give you a concept that I hope you can grasp this morning. Okay. Let me not get ahead of myself. All right. Hebrews 10:14. This foundation must be understood. You need to understand this. And the reason why I want you to understand this is because so many of us go, okay, I look at the cross. I see what Jesus has done. But for some reason, it's just not happening. You know, it says there's deliverance, but I'm not getting delivered. It says there's healing, but I just don't see it. So what do we need to do to make sure that that fully manifests in our lives? And this is what I want to address this morning. Okay, let's take a look quickly at this scripture. This is a powerful scripture that will help many of you this morning. Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering, he has perfected forever. Everybody say forever. Okay, he has perfected forever individuals who... Look at what it says. Where's the scripture? All right, it's not there. Okay, right over there. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. So there was one offering, there was one Savior, there was one Jesus who paid the price to perfect us. And if you look at that scripture, you will see that scripture, you guys are killing me. It's like hang the pastor out to dry. You know what I mean? It's just painful here. They've taken away my main screen and now, you know. You're supposed to remember it all, pastor. Well, good for you. Listen, I had VBS this week. Lots of children, 120 of them every day. All right. So by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. So he already has done it. It has already come to us. But you must understand that there is a present tense here as well, which is those who are being, which is present tense. In other words, even though it's already all available for you, there is still something taking place in you. And that means that you are being sanctified. You are still being sanctified. In other words, you haven't arrived to the fullness of what God has already made available for you. Let's take a look at that scripture that I shared with you last week. It's a beautiful scripture, but it'll help you understand this even more. Titus 2, verse number 11. Titus 2, verse number 11 says basically the same thing. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So grace first appears to us. But grace doesn't stop once it comes to us and saves us and gives us salvation. We all can seem to grasp the concept that if we give our lives to Jesus, we are saved. But there's more, because grace continues to do something. Grace is always teaching us. It's teaching us. Next verse. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in the present age. So sanctification is a process that continues. In order for us to get to where Jesus has already paid the price for us, everything is already available to us, it's already been given to us, there's a process of changing in you and I. The grace part we can grasp when it comes to salvation, but when it comes to healing, curses, and stuff like that, why do we still see them operate in our lives? This is a real question, right? Let me give you something from the Old Testament that might help you. Joshua 1, verse number 2. Joshua 1, verse number 2. Moses is dead. And God speaks to Joshua and gives him the promise. Look at what he says. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land. Now watch what he says. Which I am giving to them. He says, I'm giving this land to them. The children of Israel, is giving the land to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon. Now he says something, he talks about past tense. I have given to you. I have given to you. As I said to Moses. So he says, Joshua, here's the land. It's right in front of you. I've already given you this land. The next time God speaks to Joshua, he says, listen, I've given you the land. It's already yours. The first time he says, I'm going to give it to you. The second time he says, I've already given it to you. So in other words, he's already given us everything we need through the atonement. But what so many of us don't want to understand is that there is a part that we also have to play in it in order for it to manifest in our lives. You must understand, the children of Israel didn't cross the Jordan. All right, God. Philistines. You guys. No, it didn't work that way. They had to conquer. They had to battle. You as a human being, you live in a fallen body. You will constantly be at war with yourself. And by the way, there is also a devil. And when you are a beloved of God, a chosen of God, you become his enemy. And he don't like you. And when you start to discover who you are in Christ, then he really doesn't like you. Then when you start to actually do what God says you must do, then he really doesn't like you. But your battle primarily will be with yourself. So now we understand this reality. The same way that the children of Israel were given the land of the promised land, we have been given atonement. But when we walk over into it, we don't always see it fully manifest in our lives. This is, again, as I said earlier on, a very real question. So let's take a look at a couple of things here that might help us this morning. And I want you to understand something, that even what I'm about to share with you, I only know in part. I can only give you what I can see. If I can't see more, I can't give you more. Does that make sense? And to pretend that my list is complete would be so foolish because I'm not God. Does that make sense? But I look in His Word, see what is truth, and I give you that truth. And that's all we have to go on. Okay, I give you that truth, and the one that lives inside of you will reveal it to you. He will show it to you. He will help you to walk in it. Does that make sense? All right. So we know that when we get saved, there's a point that we have to start at. There's a point that we have to start at. How do we make what is already legally ours become ours through the cross? Now, I've shared these principles with you, so I'm not going to give you all the scriptures for it this morning. But if you want the scriptures from me, send me an email. I'll send you a long list for every category that I'm going to share with you this morning. The first category, which is so important, guys, is it all starts with repentance. It has to start with repentance. It has to start with repentance, and it has to start with believing. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. And here's the interesting thing. Don't think that you will not be challenged on this in your journey. Repenting and believing doesn't happen once. It happens every day. Why does it happen every day? Because the world is coming at you every day. Every day it's a new challenge. Every day it's a new circumstance. This morning you might wake up and everything around you seems to be falling apart. Guess what? It's time to believe. It's time to stand up. It's time to take Him at His word. It's time to declare what He says. It's time to act on what His promises are. It's time to believe God for who He says He is. These challenges are real. So repentance and believing will be something that you will walk in all the time. That is a part of your sanctification. Remember, it's been done once and for all for those who are being sanctified. So we haven't arrived, right? So repentance is something that you will always do. Listen, if you never sin, you don't need to repent. That's the only condition. Guess what? You're going to be doing a whole lot of repenting. Because the reality is we all sin. So we just say, hey, Father, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have done that. That was foolishness. I knew, I could feel in my heart when I was doing it. I knew I shouldn't have done it. And you repent, and the Bible says you turn away from it, and you go in the opposite direction. And you continue to have faith. You continue to believe. Man, and things will start happening. Now, as I share this with you, some of you will begin to recognize how at certain points on this journey, God has done miracles for you. God can do a miracle for you even before you repent. Jesus, we see that in the life of Jesus often, right? But some other people didn't get healed at the beginning. Some other people got healed along the journey. We don't see it the same for everybody else. Why? I have no idea. I don't know. All I know is that I'm going to do what His Word says. Does that make sense? If someone tells you they have the full answer, they're lying. They can't give it to you. Because we don't know everything, because we are not Him. We only know in part. So we need to be at peace in our journey. Always seeking the knowledge of God. The more you desire to know more about Him, who He is, how good He is, how great His love is, how great His mercy is. You begin to pursue Him with all of your heart. That's when things begin to change. Does that mean you'll have instant healing in that moment? I don't know. It can happen. Why? Because I've seen it happen before. But that doesn't mean that you stop if you don't have the breakthrough in that moment. In that moment, you keep going. You keep going. You keep reaching out. You keep leaning on His word. You keep believing. Does it make sense, guys? Amen. All right, let's move on because we've got a lot to cover. See, I cannot go into curses because a question was asked. Well, Pastor Alex, if the curse is broken, why do we still need to break curses? It's a great question. It's a great question. The reason why is because we have not all arrived at the point of total understanding, revelation. Our system has not fully grasped it, and there might be other influences that cause us to still have to go and break a curse. Does that make sense? Otherwise, Paul would never have spoken about weapons. There would be no need for any armor. There would be no need for us to fight the good fight of faith. It would just be, let's just be saved and let's just walk and eventually go to heaven. But it doesn't work like that. Just like the children of Israel didn't just walk into the promised land and it was all done and prepared for them. They had to fight. They had to claim their inheritance. The same way that you and I will have to claim the inheritance that God has for us. Amen. So it starts with repentance and believing. And the second one I'm going to share with you is so critical as well. And it's confession. Confession. The truth is that confession is one of the most powerful things I have ever seen in my life, in my walk with the Lord. When the enemy is exposed because of confession, the light shines in the darkness, and the Bible says the darkness cannot comprehend it. So when you take the truth into something that has been hidden, I tell you, it pierces the darkness and the enemy's authority is eliminated. I've seen it time and time again. But here's the thing though, is confession goes beyond sin or mistakes or offenses. Confession also goes into declaring what God says, His promises. What has God done for you through atonement? You need to know. You need to know the scriptures of what has taken place in atonement for you so that when you are faced with a situation or even every day when you wake up, begin to speak what God has already declared to you so that when something eventually does pop up that's not supposed to be in your body, you can say, hey, I've been talking to you every day. I've said that you don't belong here. Get out of my life. Let me give you one scripture for that. 1 Peter 2 verse 24. This is a great scripture. Who himself, this is Jesus now he's talking about, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we having died to sin might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. No mistake there, past tense. Your healing has already been paid for. It is already there. It's not is, it's were. You are healed by His stripes already. It's already done. Can you see it? By whose stripes you were healed. Listen, they have tried to argue it. They cannot change it. That's the tense. It's past tense. The healing has been paid for on the cross. It is paid for. The atonement is already there. It is available to us. Don't only speak that scripture when you get sick. Wake up in the morning and take medicine. Begin to take it like you take a vitamin. Vitamin. Sorry, that's the African in me coming out. Begin to confess the word over your life. Begin to confess God's word over your children. Begin to confess that God says that whoever is blessed, no man can curse. Begin to confess the goodness of God over your family. Confess who He is, and you will begin to see the power of what it is come to happen, come to life. Can you say amen? And we can talk about faith and all of that because it's all part of this. Let me give you another scripture. Jesus said, for by your words, Matthew 12, 37. I'm going ahead of myself. Matthew 12, 37. For by your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you will be condemned. Listen, your words have a tremendous amount of authority in your life. Be careful what you use them for. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you declare over your children. If your children are misbehaving, the other day I was watching my son. And he was really naughty, for lack of a better word. And I felt like saying, yeah, you're a little rebel. And I thought to myself, I will not say that over my son. I will not speak that word over him, because he's not a rebel. I know who he is. God has already showed me who he is. And I'm going to speak that over his life. What he's called to be, who he's called to be. And it's the same for my daughter, both my children. I will declare who they are and what they are all the time. If they're naughty, I'll just spank them. Listen, don't get angry at me. It says in the Bible, spare the rod and spoil the child. Yo, it's quiet here in Vera Beach. I think my kids are okay, and I do spank them. I'm going to say it again. I do spank them. Every now and then they need a good spanking. I'd rather give them one good spanking than call them all kinds of names and cuss them out and then turn them into something that they are not. And after I've given them a spanking, I grab them and hug them and tell them how much I love them. And by the way, normally when I spank them, I cry. Ask my wife. Because it's more painful for me than it is for them. True story. But I will not, I refuse to curse them. Because the world thinks it's better to just speak all kinds of evil over my child. No ways. I will not do it. I'll do it God's way. Is that okay? Amen. And listen, every child is different. Don't be under condemnation if you don't spank your child. Amen. All right. Man, it's terrible. All right, let's move on. Hebrews 11:6. We all know the scripture. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It's very clear that we need to have faith to be able to please God. We need to be able to speak it. We need to be able to see it. We need to be able to declare it. This is a huge part of our walk with God and will help you in the process of sanctification. As you begin to speak God's word, as you begin to contradict the things of this world, as you begin to contradict what the world says, and you begin to speak God's word over your family, over your life, so your mind will change and so will theirs. But that's not the final point. So many people believe that when we begin to declare God's word that it's enough. No, it isn't. Yes, it is a lot. And again, we've seen many miracles, many breakthroughs just from a word. Many, many times we've seen it, but not always. Right? So there must be more. It is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why? Because when you have faith, you'll finally start doing something. When you have faith, you will finally step out. You will begin to say a contradiction. You will begin to do a contradiction. And that's the next step. The next step is to move from speaking to doing. As a believer in the process of sanctification, you will first begin to believe and repent. You will begin to speak and declare. You will begin to say things. You will begin to confess things. And then you will move into the phase of actually being able, beginning to walk it out. That doing goes beyond. It goes beyond what we always feel like, because many times in the fire, in the storm, we don't feel like doing anything. But oftentimes in that moment, what do? We do exactly what He says we should do. How do we know what to do? Because His word has already been declared. His word has already been confessed. We've already begun to speak it. We've already begun to walk it out. Now we begin to do it. By doing what? By doing so many things. But let me just give you one or two examples. When the spirit of heaviness comes, we begin to praise. Praise is an action. It's a choice. You choose to praise or you don't. You choose to do things or you don't. You choose to worship. You choose to believe. You choose to go. You choose to give. You choose to step out. These are not dead works because they are works of faith. They cannot be dead works. James says, "Show me your faith and I will show you my faith with my works." Faith without works is dead. So in other words, just speaking doesn't cut it. We have to go beyond just speaking, with just believing with our words. Try and speak sometimes and stand there and look at what happens. It took them to walk around the walls of Jericho. They had to do it. It's going to take you sometimes stepping out, starting to believe, starting to do what doesn't feel right in terms of it doesn't feel natural because your body, your senses, everything's telling you the total opposite. Doing is the next key to the process of sanctification. Let me share a quick scripture with you, something the Lord shared with me. In part, remember, it's all in part. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. Remember, it's the process of sanctification. and make your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I looked at this and I saw this, something just jumped out at me. Because if you look at it, the spirit only comes alive when you repent. Are you with me? When we get born again, we repent and our spirits get born again. That's the starting point. The second part is our soul. Our soul needs to be renewed. Our soul needs to be transformed. So confession and declaration and speaking the word and believing what God says is to be true begins to transform your mind. But there's a third part of you. You are not only a spirit and a soul, but you are also a body. Your body has to actually physically do something in order for it to also be transformed. You live in a body. So guess what? If your mind's thinking it and your mouth is speaking it and you're believing it in your heart, but you're just standing there, nothing is happening. Are you with me, guys? Spirit, soul, and body. Repentance, repentance, believing, confession, and actually physically taking this thing and making it submit to the Word of God. Well, Pastor Alex, I've done that all my life, and I still haven't been healed. Why not? I don't know. I can't answer that. All I can tell you is continue to do it. Continue to believe. Continue to trust. And all I know is that if we take God at His word, and we believe it, and we do it, I believe we will begin to see a greater manifestation of the miracles and the signs and wonders. Listen, it is part of who you are. If you are a Christian, the Bible says these signs will follow those who believe. All of those signs are supernatural miracles. They are supposed to follow you. Don't try and change the Bible because it doesn't fit what's happening in your life. Don't try and say that the gifts of the Spirit and the power of God no longer exists because it doesn't fit in with your theology because you're not seeing it. If you're not seeing it, something's wrong with you. Can you say amen? Because God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what's wrong with us? I don't know all the time. But what we do is we continue to press in. And I love it because He says that in order for you not to be under the law, all you have to do is one thing. And that's to be led by the Spirit. That's all you can do, guys. All these things are tools that I've given you, but if you really want to know the secret, put your arms down. Stop fighting, stop trying, and just surrender to Him. Surrender to His Word, surrender to the truth, surrender to the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you, that is always leading and guiding you into truth. That's what He does. He's so good at it. Sometimes it upsets me because I don't want to do what He's telling me. If we do that, we've done everything we can do. And the rest is up to Him. And that's when you say, Father, Your will be done in my life. I don't know your journey and the walk that you've had. You may have gone through some terrible things. Our family, we've been through some stuff as well. Everyone's journey is different. But at the beginning of the service tonight, I said something in my prayer. I said, Lord, I choose to believe Your goodness. Your goodness. Because You're the same. You've never changed. I look at the cross and I see a price that was so intense, so real, so powerful, so grotesque. And what has been paid for, and I'm so thankful for it. And I believe instead of us trying to fight over what doctrine is correct and what we shouldn't do and gifts that have ceased and haven't ceased, let's just believe God for His word. Let's just believe Him. What He says is true. And then we will see what is about to take place on this planet. Believe me, you will either be part of it or you will watch it. But there was going to be the greatest manifestation of the Spirit that this planet has ever seen. You are going to see lives changed, miracles take place, and you're either going to be a part of it or you're going to stand on the outside and watch it. And you will either say it's the devil or you'll say, I don't know. But it's going to happen. It's busy happening, actually. God's already doing it. And I'm so excited. I'm so thankful. And I'm so humbled. What I mean by that is I even don't like saying that, but I'm humbled by him because I just realized that I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful for his goodness. In the good times and the bad times, what does goodness do? It leads to repentance. That's the starting point, guys. That's where it all begins. Can you say amen? Now, in the doing, in the last part, in the doing, in the acts, that's where we do war with the enemy. That's where we pick up our sword and we fight. That's where we believe God in his word. That's where we examine ourselves. The Bible says, examine yourself. Have a look and see if there's anything that could be there, that maybe there's a door open and we close it. It's not now bad going to do that. That's good. Why? We close every door. We eliminate the power of the enemy. And something might come to you that will bring revelation to you that's happened maybe in your family. And that's why we're doing the subject on curses. But what's important is that you know this, that there's only one thing that has paid for the price of curses to be broken, your salvation, your healing, your deliverance, only one thing, and that's the atonement of the blood of Jesus. There is nothing you can do for that. Only he can do it. Only he has already done it. Can you say amen? I hope this word has helped you guys this morning. I hope it's encouraged you. I hope it's given you some insight. Again, we only know in part. And I'm comfortable saying that. Is that okay? Let's pray. Father, when they went to Jesus and said to him, what is the greatest commandment? He made the most powerful statement. He said, if you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might. Father, it all comes down to this. We choose to follow you because we love you. How can we not? If we look and see and understand what you've already done for us, how can we not love you? How can we not serve you with all of our hearts? You also went on to say, and the second is like it, that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. And then you said that all the others, everything else we need comes out of those two. And so, Father, this is the desire of my heart this morning, that you would cause us to love you with everything inside of us. That once we've tasted your goodness, and taste and see that you are good. Because you are. You are so good. You are faithful. You are merciful. Through the good times and the bad times, you remain the same. And we're just so thankful to you this morning, Father. Thankful for your love and thankful for your mercy. I pray for every precious person that's here this morning as we go on this journey together, Father. As we look and see in your word, things that can help us to get closer to you. You've already paid the ultimate price for us, and we're so thankful for it. We love you and praise you and worship you. Now I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit be with each and every person as they leave here this morning, in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you guys.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.